Here, there are beaches as wide open as your plans and waterfront towns more charming than you could ever imagine, and activities to fill every sunny second of every sunny day. It's time to start thinking about your next break, and the Crystal Coast has a space for you and yours to do it all. Ready for the perfect spring getaway? Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 15th day of May, 2026. And tonight this is Fearless Friday tonight, folks, and we have the mighty, mighty Andrew standing by as a sentry, ready to stand fast and hard against the forces of darkness that always come against us on Friday nights. Hey, mighty Andrew.
Hello, Pastor, and absolutely, I'm ready here to stand guard.
Okay, let's take it to them. And live from the McTernan Mansion in the Lone Star State, he's known as the Bold One, none other than Big John McTernan.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie, for that introduction, but you shortchanged me.
I did.
The McTernan Mansion is the home of the free and the land of the brave.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. There you go. But you got it done.
When you call me, isn't that the way I've answered? You reached the McTernan Mansion, home of the free, land of the brave.
Yeah. And home of the free and the land of the brave. Okay. I thought you were saying it's the home with a tree and you're not a slave.
Well, there are trees and I'm not a slave.
All right. Anyhow, or what about this? It's the land of the tree. And you live in a cave.
No, it's a mansion, Pastor.
All right, all right. Listen, we may be bold and we may be brave, but we are not stupid, right? And we want to make sure, you know, this is Friday night, so we know that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, right? But we also know that there's power, and prayer. And we know that every time there's certain things that we'll be talking about tonight, and the enemy always seems to know, especially when we're coming directly from the Word of God. So why don't you go ahead and offer up a prayer and ask the good Lord to keep the enemy away from us tonight.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the years, Lord, Friday night has literally been a battleground to keep this show on the air. Lord, we present your word here. We present the word of salvation through Jesus Christ and lots of truth, Lord, that other shows mightn't handle. So we need your blessings to keep all interference away and let us go through the show free of interruption. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Thank you very much. John, we have a woman named Susie some years ago. Well, her mother attended our church for quite a while, Sally. But Susie, I baptized her some years ago, and she is in need of prayer tonight. She has stage 4 cancer in her brain and in her liver and in her thyroid. And, well, as you know, that she's really, really, well... Well, you know, she's depressed. She's very depressed. Now, her son, or not her son, her daughter, who was a nurse there at the Cleveland Clinic. And her daughter, apparently, in order to keep her job, was one of those that had to take the kill shot.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And in the process... caused her, she was pregnant, caused her to miscarriage. She lost her baby. And anyhow, in order for her to, you know, to keep her job, she had to continue, you know, she had to get these vaccines, so she left. She didn't want to get any more of those shots. But anyhow, so let's pray right now, because, you know, all of man's science and that can't seem to do much for Susie, but we know God can. And I know that every now and then we ask God. I know I'm guilty of it all the time, because I know so many people that have been, you know, their whole life they've been crippled, they've been sick, and that if God would heal them, if God would give them a complete and make them completely whole, it would cause others to believe. They look upon that and see that and say, surely only God could do such a thing, okay? And God could do that, but for his own reasons, I guess, apparently he doesn't. And sometimes he does. Sometimes there's been cases where we've seen that. I myself, I remember once they told me when I had broke my back twice, second time, that I would never walk again. But the very next day after the surgery, I got up and walked. And the doctor told me, he said, get used to it. But when I told him, when the nurse came in and saw me walking, she screamed and almost caused me to fall. But God did that. God did that. I know in my own life, when I jumped off my big tractor, I sprained both ankles at one time. And I was walking on crutches. And I got in the prayer chair at the church, and they anointed me with oil, and they prayed. And I got up, and I was able to get right up, right when that was finished, both ankles. The swelling was gone, and I got up, and I walked right out of there. And so, anyhow, God can do these things when he chooses, right? So let's pray for Susie. And would you want to pray for Amber, a young woman who lost her baby and needs, I guess she needs a new job. So I'm going to pray for Susie. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold up Susie in the situation. Lord, I know that, you know, with cancer in the brain and cancer in the liver and cancer in the thyroids, not a lot of people can do. But Father God, you're not people. Lord, there is no doubt in our minds you could just say the word that she might be healed, Father God. And what a great witness she would be. People would see that and say, again, surely this is the thing that the Lord has done. So you told us to pray and pray without ceasing. And you've also told us, to show us how in the situation where there was a wicked judge, and yet the woman was persistent in praying and going to him and petitioning that judge, and so the judge finally gave her away, and you gave us that as an example, Father, saying to continue. How much more shall a Father God, a loving God, do for his children? So that's what we're asking you to do right now tonight for Susie. We know that with men this will be impossible, but for you there's nothing impossible. All things are possible. So we're asking that you touch her, you heal her, and then, Lord, we ask you you put her to work for you, put her to work for you, right up to the time you take her home, that she place up many crowns in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you go ahead and pray for Amber?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Bethany. Yes, Abba Father, we bring Amber before you again in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, she has been pressured to take something that is evil, Lord. It's evil, and it's done damage, Lord. She's lost a child because of that and a job. So we're asking, Lord, she might be broken. I'm sure she might be brokenhearted about the, losing the baby. And the Bible says you were sent to heal the broken heart. So we're asking that you would heal her broken heart. And, Lord, provide a job that she needs now from what happened. And I pray that to be a big turn with your grace in her life, Lord, with lots of blessings now. In Jesus' awesome name, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you, John. I want to say very quickly to the folks out there listening, folks, next week is Pledge Weekend. Last month and the month before that, or the 2 months, we both months we lost one day in our Pledge Week because the phones gave out and one thing another, but we lost a day. And we had just tried to barely make it up when it hit us the second time. And now we're in a situation where if you're out there listening, if you're going to support us, this month, it would be really good if you did it early. Whether you want to do it by PayPal, if you want to call it and send by PayPal, or if you would, if you're out there, you should have gotten your newsletter. Many of you should have gotten your newsletter today, and then there would have been a return address envelope. But right now, we really could use it. If you could get it in a little early for us, because we've got a deadline is Wednesday. We have to have write a check on Wednesday. And we're still far short of what we need. So, but the Lord always comes through. He always comes through for us, even though it's not easy. But He always comes through, and we're looking up on Him to move the hearts of this people. So we would appreciate that very much, John. You know, with what's taking place out there, this coming Sunday, Lord's willing, I'm going to be preaching on the great falling away, the great falling away, which is happening now. One of the things that we see in the great falling away evidence there is all the nations of the world turning against Israel, a growing anti-Semitism, which we're really seeing. We're really seeing this growing anti-Semitism in the world today. And here, you know, you see that in the country here, marches in our country here, all over the world, you see this thing's happening, okay? Right now, a number of those countries that would normally be very hostile towards Israel are kind of, they're actually going to wait long with Israel because they fear Iran getting a nuclear bomb. They know if Iran gets a nuclear capacity, those people are crazy, that they believe that if they cause a world war, that's going to take them to heaven through Allah, right? But anyhow, let's take a look at tonight. People need to know that the God of the New Testament, you hear these people saying today, the God of the Old Testament was a very harsh and a very strict God, okay, and even sometimes cruel. But the God of the New Testament is different. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus was the Lord of the New Testament, but who is the Lord of the Old Testament, John? Who is the Creator God?
The Lord Jesus Christ. It's right. Very clear that He is.
So He's the same Lord, and people don't realize this. Now, God is a holy God, and He's a just God, and that means, you know, He's long-suffering, but He's not slack. And He rewards good, and He punishes evil, does He not?
That's correct, Pastor Ernie. You see, what's in God that we always have to remember is mercy. He is merciful, but his mercy at some point can come to an end when he's like being taken advantage of, Pastor Ernie. People won't respond to sin, won't respond to repentance and turning away from sin and things like that.
Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 26 and let's take a look at what God says of how he deals with people. And he dealt with Israel, and he's the same God, and how he deals with those that are in obedience, and then how he deals with those that are in disobedience. So go ahead. Would you go to Leviticus chapter 2 and read verses, Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26, and then read verses 2 through 13.
Okay. Leviticus 26, verse 2. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the fields shall yield their fruit, and your threshings shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat the old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soil shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright.
All right, so God makes some very, very clear promises here. Is he able to keep all of these promises?
He's the creator of the universe, Pastor Ernie.
So here...
Yes.
And so he's saying, if you'll obey him, he'll take care of you. And if you obey him, you won't have to worry about food. You won't have to worry about your enemies. If you'll be in obedience to God, he will take good care of you. Okay? Is that the same God that's out there today?
Yes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Okay. It seems like there's this a mindset out there today, because we've been talking about this with what has been taking place here in the last, well, I'm saying about last 30 years, even, you know, since the change of the century, starting back into, you know, the time of 9/11, we've seen such an increase, a huge, huge increase in people leaving churches, no longer going to church. I mean, and I'm going to be preaching on some of this, Lord's willing, this coming Sunday, the great falling away, the great apostasy, because the vast majority of people are absolutely clueless. They are clueless about the time that they're living in and what is happening all around them. So now let's take a look at conditions that the result of disobedience of people that refuse to obey God. Would you go ahead and start in verse 14 and go ahead and read it all the way through 39?
But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if ye shall abhor my judgment, so I will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning that shall consume the eyes and sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it. But I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all of this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the lane yield their fruit. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the fall of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your city, I will send a pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. But if you will not for all that is spoken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you also in fury. And I, even I, will chasten you seven times for your sins. And yet, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies shall dwell therein, shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye shall be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when I dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of your enemies. And the sound of the shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from the sword, and they shall fall with none pursuing. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before the sword, when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemy's land. and also in the iniquities of your fathers shall he pine away with them.
Well, you know, now here, he made that promise to the land of Israel. He said, when you're in obedience to me, you will be blessed, you will be protected, you won't have to worry about your enemies. You know, when you see Gideon with his 300 men, you know, look what he did against, you know, 40-something thousand, right? So God did exactly, over the years, everything we just read here, everything took place, okay? What percentage of the people in this country do you think realize that?
No, Pastor, any tiny, less than 1%.
And so, for the times we're living in right now, we're living in a time where, again, Jesus said, when I return, shall I find any faith? Biblical illiteracy is so prominent today, and again, the vast majority of people are clueless about the days we're living in. They're definitely not like the men of Issachar, are they?
No, Pastor Ernie, definitely not. No.
We'll be back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder, Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood, when John preached repentance, he sure did it good, Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
All right, there you go. Big Baptist John. And we have Big John McKernan. Big John McKernan, are you looking forward to the day when you get to glory and you meet Big Baptist John?
Well, you mean John the Baptist there, Pastor Ernie? Yeah. He was the greatest of all the prophets.
Yeah, I know. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting that fellow someday. You know why? Because I believe God will always do. He always has, and he will do exactly what he says. And those that are in obedience to him, and those that are truly saved, well, he's gone away and prepared him a mansion in glory, huh?
That's right, Pastor Ernie. For, you know, Pastor Ernie, and when we read the scriptures about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but particularly Abraham, it doesn't say in those scriptures that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. But it says it in Hebrew.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so the driving force for Abraham was his belief, and when he died, he was going to go into what we call the New Jerusalem. That was his driving force, Pastor Ernie. It says it in scriptures. He was looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. That's the New Jerusalem.
Absolutely. But haven't you heard? Haven't you heard, John, that God is finished with Israel and the church has replaced Israel?
Pastor Ernie, I'm going to ask you a tough theological question, all right?
All right.
In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus rose from the ascended, what location did he ascend from?
In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus, didn't he come from, you mean from the Mount of Olives, I believe?
Right, exactly. And the Mount of Olives is located in Israel, in Jerusalem, and right by the Temple Mount.
I've been
and
there.
There was an angel. There's an angel, and didn't the angel say that when Jesus returns, he's returning the same way?
Yep, exactly at the same place. His feet will be in this very same place they were when he left.
All right. And then when we look in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 14, it says that when Christ returns, his feet are going to be where? On the Mount of Olives.
Right.
So the replacement theology people, how do they square this? In Christ's coming, where does he return, Pastor Ernie? Because it says all the nations of the world are gathered against Jerusalem at that time when the Lord returns.
Well, he's telling you in that same chapter 14 that the armies of the world he gathered and they're coming in and that just in a prior to that, he tells you that one third of the Jews call upon him and call him Lord and receive him. So one third of them get saved, okay? But two thirds will perish. But that one third will go, like you said, and he will split the Mount of Olives to the north and to the south, and they will go through into. I'm having one of those moments right now. But anyhow, they'll go through the Mount of Olives there, and then he will be standing there, and the armies of the world will run smack dab into the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings with all of his armies. Now, he tells you in Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, you see the Lord Jesus with four categories of saints, the four different categories. First, the angels, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the newly tribulation saints. The new, right there, they gather. They're leaving the third heaven. They're leaving the third heaven. And you see him coming and arriving back on earth right there in verses 5 of Zechariah 14. And we're there, the armies. What does an army do, John?
An army fights, Pastor Ernie.
And so he's bringing us back, not for looks, but his armies, and it says his armies will fight against the armies of the world. And that means we'll be returning to earth in glorified bodies. And a glorified body is one that can't die. We'll be like the angels, we can't die, okay? And if you can't die, well, what is the purpose of when you go to war with the enemy today? The purpose
well,
is to...
Depends, Pastor Ernie, if you have a woke, the woke are in charge, like Biden, it's to teach woke and to be like Boy Scouts.
Well, the woke, they're upside down, inside out, and backwards. But the purpose of an army is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. And so we show up in glorified bodies, and we can't die. And people say, well, how could that be possible? With God, all things are possible. Look, if God says it, believe it. If you argue with it, you're going to lose it. Believe me. Because God's never lost an argument. And so here, we show up with glorified bodies. We can't die. The armies of the world show up. Now, I want to make it clear, it's the armies of the world. Some people think that it's all the nations, but it's not. It's just the armies of the world. They show up, and they're not going to be showing up there like they did in the day of battle, where he took them out, and they fought against, God destroyed Pharaoh's elite. This is going to be a whole different ballgame. When they come, the armies of the world, they're going to have modern technology with them. They'll have Black Hawks. They'll have Hellfire missiles. They'll have all of these things to come against us, the Lord, and his saints. But it's not going to do them a lot of good, is it?
I don't think so, Pastor Andy, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. So it won't last. It just can't last because he's the literal creator of the universe, and they're coming against him with like water guns.
So here, right now, what we just said out there, if everybody in this country was listening to what you and I just said, what percentage of those people do you think would actually believe what we just said?
Not many, Pastor Ernie. It probably would be the first time they heard, like, Bible prophecy.
So, the second question is, how many of those will believe what we just said?
Everyone.
Every single one? There won't be any unbelievers in heaven or hell, will there be?
No, Pastor Ernie. That's the sad part. You know, there is a... It's commonly called hell, but in the scriptures, it's referred to as the lake of fire.
Eternal torment, huh?
Yes.
And we've tried, and we continue. It's going to be a to continue preaching that gospel, preaching repentance until the day the Lord takes us home. But I can tell you, with what's happening, we're in the days right now of the great falling away. We're here, the great apostasy. We can see this. We look around. There's so many things that are happening. Let me give an example. Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, he tells Daniel to seal up the book until the time, he said, until that time is when the information... When knowledge is going to be increased rapidly, when knowledge will be increased rapidly, and people will run in travel will be increased globally. Are we living in a time right now where knowledge is being increased double, even daily?
Well, Pastor Ernie, with the power of the computers, the speed of the computers, with artificial intelligence and all the other high tech, I mean, yes, it's incredible. The way knowledge is increasing now is just, it's beyond anything we can imagine.
Well, so that wouldn't apply to 100 years ago, and it wouldn't apply 200 years ago or 300. It wouldn't have applied up until now. So there's so many things in the Bible, the prophecies that have been coming true, and they've been there all along, and as they've come about, people realize that's what the Bible was talking about. And so now we're seeing here, we are living, the unsealing of that book, as Daniel was told. But what percentage of the people in the country do you think realize that?
I don't think the percent ever changes, Pastor. It's the same.
There's very few. And there's so many other things that are happening right now that have never happened. It didn't happen 75 years, didn't happen 100 years ago, didn't happen. But all of this is happening now. And then it tells you, when you see these things, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're right there now. But again, the vast majority of people are clueless. But anyhow, let's get to, and I'm going to be preaching, like I said, on the great apostasy. Oh yeah, that's right. I got to give the address of the church. The church is Doers of the Word, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. And if, folks, the phone number there is, and the phones have been working recently. And they've been working here on the radio, too. That's miracles. The phone number is 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. So if you're coming out and you get lost or you want to know more information, call that number and we'll get back to you. Now, John, we have a lot of stuff to cover. Trump's trip to China, he's back home now. What do you think? Do you think it was a very successful trip or no?
I have no idea, Pastor Ernie. I just don't know.
Okay, here's
I would say from the information that I did glean, I think it was a good on his part or our part, but I can't be sure. I mean,
according to what Trump was said on the plane, the word is he feels very good about it because he believes that he has a deal which she agreed to, one, not to sell any arms to Iran, that's what he agreed to, not to sell any, and then two, to encourage Iran to give up all of their uranium, uranium that they're making, enriched uranium that they're making bombs with. He's, according to Trump, that she's going to do that because, you see, even China, nobody wants Iran to have a nuclear bomb, okay? Those people are suicidal, not the Iranian people, okay? But he even, according to Trump, talked about buying oil from America, from us. And so that would be, one other thing that they had an agreement on for both sides are going to at least cut back spying on each other. Because they have, of course, they have a ton of spies here. And like Trump says, we have a ton of spies there too. But they're going to come and try to make an agreement not to spy on each other so much. So that might be a good thing. I kind of get tired of that spying, don't you?
Pastor Ernie, there was a zero chance, negative chance, that China's going to cut back spying on us. I don't believe that for a second.
Neither do I. I don't think Trump does either. But it would be nice.
For the public to consume. That's not reality, Pastor Ernie.
I'll tell you what is reality, and it's a very good thing, and that is, well, that Governor Jared Polis, who happens to be a sodomite of Colorado, a very, very liberal state, did a good thing. Now, he should have done this a couple of years ago, but he did a very good thing. He granted clemency to Tina Peters, a Christian patriot lady and a Blue Star mother, and that just happened today. So, praise the good Lord for that, huh?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, apparently she's going to be released June 1st.
And so, one other thing that I forgot to tell you about China, they agreed to buy 750 Boeing jets. That's a lot of airplanes, isn't it? That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Actually, they're going to start with 200. They're putting an order in for 200. I mean, but what kind of a fleet is that? Are they going to use those jets to put their troops in and fly here? I mean, what are you going to do with all those airplanes?
Well, you know, they said, you know, that, I don't know how many airliners we have, but I would imagine that you might have 50,000 jet planes in this country alone. There's a lot of them. I mean, just think every time you go to the airport, how many do you see there? And I'll think of all the thousands of airports we have. But anyhow, I don't know. I don't really know how many planes they have and what it takes. But I do know that here that shady, sneaky Governor Newsom there in California is so afraid. It looks like it's very possible the way that they have things set up, they don't do it like we do here in Ohio. When you run for governor, you have, you know, either from the Republican Party, one person, you have a primary. And at the end of that, you'll have one person from the Republicans, the Democrats, or independents. They don't do it with that way out there in California. I think they've got about seven people that are running for governor, and two of them are Republicans, and the rest are all Democrats. And it looks like, even in California, that the two top may be Republicans. And if they are, the top two have a runoff. And so it looks like there may be a runoff between two Republicans, and the Democrats will be shut out completely. And so the governor out there, Newsom, he's decided that he is going to find a way to rig the system and to game the system. I mean, he's come right out and said it, okay, out there. And by the way, you know, folks, if you think you've got gas problems here in Ohio, the average price of a gallon of gas is $7.89 in California. What do you think of that? Anyhow, so
that,
I mean,
sounds like the price in Europe, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, but here's the thing, John. You're saying, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. If it's all right for the Republicans, the gerrymandering, why is it not for the Democrats? Well, the Democrats have been so corrupt in this to begin with. The Republicans are just now catching up. But one thing, the difference, John, and I've been watching this, is the Republicans are doing it according to the state constitution. The Democrats are violating, and that's why they lost so big in Virginia, huh?
Well, you're right, Pastor Ernie, and what the Supreme Court did, it's called gerrymandering, it reversed it and put it back to the way it should be. So that's all the Supreme Court did away with gerrymandering, and that's why the Democrats are so upset, because they had probably 30 houses, and then the House of Representatives, they had probably 30 seats because of their gerrymandering. Maybe more. I'm sure it's more, Pastor Ernie. They have probably 50 seats because of gerrymandering. They're going to lose about 25 now, 30 maybe.
And if they do lose that, then that's going to give the Republicans a big hold on the House, huh?
The Democrats... unless something bizarre happens politically, they're never going to get the House back there. Never.
Back there in South Carolina, that Governor McMasters, he calls for an emergency special session to force a vote on a 2026 congressional map. Now, what happened, he's got some rhinos there, some Democrats that has ran as Republicans, and they got elected, and now it's showing you just who they are. So they don't want to go ahead, because you've got a very, very bad actor there, a senator in South Carolina, one that one that was that should be in jail. He should be in prison right now for what he did to the J6ers. He lied, and that is Jim Clyburn. That is Senator Jim Clyburn. He lied and he lied and he lied, and he should be right now in prison for what he did to the J6ers. But anyhow, here McMaster's is moving to gerrymander to remove his seat. And so that's the right thing to do, wouldn't it be?
But yeah, they're straightening out the... Apparently, maybe we should explain what gerrymandering is, unless you've done it during the week and all, to the people.
You know? No, go ahead.
Yeah, the state has representatives based on its population. Like right now, Texas is gaining a lot of seats because people are pouring into Texas. So every 10 years you have a census, and based on the census, it determines how many representatives you're going to get. So once that's determined, then you have to divide the state up so you have an equal amount of people voting for each representative. Gerrymandering means you rig it for whatever reason. And the way it had been rigged for many, many years was based on race. And they were setting up areas. I'm not blaming black people, but this is what the politicians were doing, based on race, so that you could elect black representatives. So that's all been reversed now, because the Supreme Court said it's illegal to do that. You've got to lay it out in a natural sense, not to favor one race or one ethnic group or anything like that. So now, Pastor Ernie, like in South Carolina, there will be no Democrats because of the population and the overwhelming amount of Republicans in South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana. Tennessee won't have any blue sections. North Carolina. So the Democrats are going to lose probably, and if it's done the way the Republicans should do it, they could lose up to 25 or more seats that term.
Well, you say, well, boy, gee, that doesn't seem fair. Well, you know, if you go to New England, how many Republican seats do you have in New England?
Hardly any.
None.
Because they're all Democrats, and they gerrymandered all the states to wring out any of the Republicans and get as many Democrats. In other words, they rigged the voting population so only Democrats are going to win.
Absolutely. So now, but in the past, you could only discriminate against black people, the way they set that up, that you did discrimination against white or Hispanic or Asian wasn't really discrimination. But now they're saying that to discriminate against any race, okay? And so, and guess what? The vast majority of black people support that because it's the right thing to do. Now, here comes Al Sharpton and the NAACP, and they said no white mayor should ever be elected. No white man should ever be elected as a mayor in the United States. That's what they're saying. We're coming up to a break, and when we come back, boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight. So we'll be right back after this. So don't go away. More to come. A whole lot more to come. You'll see. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program,
you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.